Back years ago when I was in college in the McKinley administration, are you laughing at me because I'm old? In Psych 101, you know, they had all kinds of fun, and since then it's become fairly well known. You all know the riddle: if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it fall, does it make a sound? Well, in this day and age, most people would say, of course not, because I am the center of the universe, and if I'm not there to see it and hear it, it did not happen. Seems to be the attitude of most people today. Okay, so I got another one. If a man speaks in the forest and his wife's not there to hear him, is he still wrong? Okay. Life. Since many are graduating and celebrating graduation this week, I thought we should talk about the dreams for the future that graduates have and what the heck happened to ours. So if you're young here today, I want to share with you how to get on track in life. And if you're older, maybe how to get back on track, because it's not too late. So as we begin, I want to talk about just briefly some of the things that get us off track. And I really want to narrow this down. You know, I thought, you know, with graduates and not only what could help them, but what could help us, even if we're not graduating from anything at this point, what would help us in life? And in looking at this, I really just want to focus on two things. And because if you mess up these two, the rest really doesn't matter. And if you get these right, life is pretty sweet. You see, the secular world around us preaches, as scientific fact, that the path to happiness and success is to learn to embrace your authentic self. And I'm here to tell you that is oh so very wrong. And I'll prove it. Okay? You see, your authentic self has flaws. Your authentic self needs to be corrected and developed, not embraced as is. Let me just ask you this question then. If that's really the way to go, then how come nobody's doing it? Okay? Would you really like your friends at school, the people you work with? You really want them to get to know your authentic self? Oh, the horror! Probably not. Rather, you'd prefer them to know the you that you present. You know, maybe you're not quite as courageous as you're letting on. Maybe you're not quite as cheerful and optimistic as you'd like people to think. No, you should not accept carte blanche your authentic self as is. It is to be seen for what it is, and your authentic self is to be confronted and corrected. You need to learn to tell yourself no. And you need to say it loudly and strongly. No, stop thinking that way. It's wrong. This is only going to lead to more destruction in my life if I keep thinking in these terms. And yes, there are some things you need to do that you don't want to do. Listen, you got to be tough with yourself. And listen, you know, the thing is, you know, well, you know, if I'm messing up, a good friend would come and talk to me. Are you kidding? That happens sometimes, but, you know, there are limits even with your best friends. Why? Because they want to preserve the friendship. And they just know, with you, there's certain lines they can't cross. Am I right? Yes. Amen or oh me, I don't know. The thing is, you have to demand much more of yourself than you would ever demand from anybody else. But for most of us here this morning and watching online, you know, most of us as born again believers, the scripture says that we are to grow up in Christ. So I want to begin with that concept. And again, this could easily be a 6-week series, but it's not going to be. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says, as God's obedient children. I wonder if I fit into that category. Well, as God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know any better. Like the translation that says, when you were in ignorance. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For the scripture says you are to be, literally the word here be is to become holy. You are to become holy because I am holy, says the Lord. Most people, they read this in the book of Matthew. They read it in the Old Testament, and they read it here in this passage in Peter the reading. And God is saying, oh, you better be holy or I'm going to come and smack you. Be holy. And it's not that way at all. God is saying, you will become holy because as your father, you are born again with my life. You have my spiritual DNA in you. How many of you look in the mirror and you think, oh my gosh, I look like my mom. I look like my dad. I got their ears, their nose, and their eyes. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? You see, and you couldn't do anything about it, could you? It's just part of your DNA. And that's what God is saying to you. It's not one of these, I'm going to pound you promises or commandments. It's a promise that you will become holy because you can't help it because I'm your father and my life is in you. Now, you can put the brakes on anything that God has for you and not end up where he wants you to be, but he says, you will become holy because I am holy. Okay? It's a spiritual DNA. Anyway, next, secular guidance also says that if you want to be happy and successful in life, the two most important things that you can do is marry the right person and choose the right profession, the right job, the right career. But these, as the world presents them and teaches them and promotes them, are misconceptions that need correction. A happy marriage and a fulfilling career are important for a satisfying life, but most people, they really misunderstand how this works because they're looking at the wrong things. Okay? You see, people, even followers of Jesus Christ, are often swayed by wrong secular persuasion. The things that are preached in movies and books, on the internet, social media, and sometimes even in churches. But let's look at what we need to see and apply to these two parts of our life, because it is important what you do in marriage and what you do at work. The foundation for this we're going to look at this morning is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It says, patient endurance. Yeah, I'm already striking out here because I'm not very patient and I don't like to endure anything. But listen, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive. Then you will receive what he has promised. Okay? Now, this verse tells us how we are to face the things that come our way in life. In any situation, we are to face it wherever we find ourselves in life. Good, not so good, bad, whatever. Patient endurance. Unfortunately, patient endurance may not be the natural response for most of us when we're going through difficult times. But it is central to God's will for our lives. You see, most of us wrestle with what God's will is. You know, I was a youth pastor way longer than I should have been. And that's the number one thing. Well, Pastor, help, Phil, tell me, how will I know God's will? How will I know the one I'm to marry? How will I know that they're the right one? Let me just tell you, you're asking the wrong question. I thought you said that we need to marry the right one. Well, no, that's what the world preaches. Let me just start off by saying, if you're here, you're married to the right one. Amen. We're going to have fun this morning unpacking this. I can tell already. We want to know what God's will is. God, what is your will for my life? But see, the verse we just read shows us that we are to learn how to live in such a way that we are growing in patient endurance. And this does take work. It takes effort. Anything good you want in life is going to take some effort. Most of the time when we think about God's will for our lives, we always focus on the what. You know, what job, what career he has for us, what talents he wants us. We're so focused on the what and the where and even the who. We always focus on the what of God's will. But again, this verse tells us and calls us to see that God's will is more about how we live rather than exactly what we are to do. You see, if we'll recalibrate our focus more to the how instead of the what, it will change how we approach each day, how you work, your work ethic, your attitude about work and the people at work and the work that you're doing, your reactions to things that happen around you at work. Listen to me. These are the kinds of things that more times than not, they're more important than the job itself. What if where you worked and the job that you do is not as relevant as it is as how you do your work? I mean, maybe God is more concerned right now with how we do whatever job we have than he is what the job is and where it's at. Until we learn how to progress in this arena, if God does, you know, oh, I just believe God has great things for me. I believe that I'm going to be the owner and manager of two bubblegum machines. And man, that's my life dream. And go, okay, so whatever it is that you think God has out there in the future for, if you cannot do what you're doing now with a right attitude as unto the Lord, why would God put you there? You know what? You'll be that boss that everybody hates. Right? Don't you think it's important that we learn and grow where we're at so that when we get to the place that God has for us, when he brings us there, that we're a blessing instead? Pastor, where is this boss? Where is this place? I want to go there now. Yeah. So how you do your work, I think God might be just a little bit more concerned about that than it is, oh God, tell me where I'm supposed to go work. Tell me what job you want me to do. Why don't you just start focusing on how you're doing your work? Now, some of you, I can already tell, Pastor, I don't like those words you're saying. I hate my job. I hate everybody there. Okay. I get it. You know, if this is the more important thing, what if this is critical also in areas like your friendships or your marriage? What if who you're married to is not quite as important as it is as how you live as a married person? What if unmarried people stop thinking, who is the right one? Too often we become fixated on finding who is the one. Let me tell you what that really means. That really means, who's the one that I can marry that is not going to take any effort or work? And if it is work and if it is hard, that must mean it's the wrong one. So I better dump this one and go find the right one because I missed out there. We pray, God, lead me to the right one. You know, the one that there's no risks and no work or sacrifice, and I never have to ask for forgiveness. Yeah, good luck with that. It doesn't exist. Two fallible human beings. You see, if you're single and one day you want to be married, hear me carefully. If you don't get happy now, marriage is not going to make you happy. I know you think it will, but I'm in love. As we've just talked about, come August, I'll be celebrating 45 years in ministry, whether it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or the biggest part of it here, in dealing with people. Listen to me carefully. Wherever you're at, before you get married, you just bring that into the marriage. And it is not right for you to expect, those stupid greeting cards, you make me so happy. Well, what happens when they stop making you happy? Because that's going to happen. There's going to be days that they don't feel like making you happy. Maybe they need a little grace shown toward them. A little plug for grace marriage. Anyway, that'll be coming up this fall. This is why you have married people looking at the single people saying, oh, I wish I were single. All the single people looking at them, oh, I wish I were married. You know, the grass is always greener, right? On the other side, so we think, but it's a lie. You are, wherever you are, there you are. And if you stink, guess what? The smell is wherever you go. Okay, well. Anyway, what if marriage is something bigger than just the man and the woman? Where they both in marriage seek to serve and meet each other's needs. What if this is what makes marriage sweet and holy? Okay, well, we have this keyboard here. And hey, Bentley, you okay if I ask you to come do something this morning? I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you when we were talking earlier in the office. Anyway, here's the piano. I tell you what, I need you to play something.
I can't play.
Well, let's see. Go ahead. Play something sweet from the depths of your soul.
I can't play it.
Just put your hands to the... Okay, he needs a little help. Let's just pray and ask God to anoint him. Lord, we just ask you to anoint him right now. Go ahead, give it a shot. Just hit something there.
You expect it to be beautiful?
I expect you to give it all you've got to whatever. Just push some buttons there. Go ahead. Press some keys. Oh, yeah. Okay, no, you're doing fine. Okay, I tell you what. Maybe play a little harder. Push a little harder, just hard, you know.
I think Sarah would be better.
Okay, I know you do, I know. Okay, I tell you what, maybe play it a little faster, just a little faster, see. Okay, yeah. All right. This piano stinks. Thank you, Bentley. It's not you. No, it's the keyboard. It's the keyboard, right? Isn't this what the world preaches? You're not the problem. It's this. JC, would you do come and just now stay with me? Go ahead. Just hit a few notes, whatever tickles your fancy. Because I think the keyboard really sucks. But is that the same keyboard? Did you swap them out? Okay, maybe there's nothing wrong with this keyboard, is there? Thank you, JC. Maybe there's nothing wrong with your marriage. Maybe you're just trying to play it harder and faster. Maybe it doesn't stink. Maybe the way you're playing it really stinks. Maybe there's nothing wrong with your job. Maybe it's how you're working it. Maybe there's nothing wrong with your life. Yes, God gave you your life. But you may sound horrible and out of sync because of how you're playing it. I promise you that JC just didn't start playing chopsticks and it went to whatever it is he went to playing like that overnight. There was a point when JC first started that what he played really stunk. But then he started learning slowly, getting coaching and practicing over and over again. But see, people like JC, they have the confidence that with patient endurance, something good and wonderful would grow out of that. He now sounds good because he has an amazing capacity to do what other people think is boring. And to learn to start with the scales. The tenacity to get through his own, press through his own limitation. That's why he's good at it. Listen, you can be good at life. You can be good at marriage and at your work. But these kinds of things you have to learn and practice and grow in. And slowly, in time, you get better at it. It requires patient endurance. There's a lot of repenting. You have to let a lot of people speak into your life. And you can't give up so quickly just because you're not perfect at it. There is no magic keyboard that you're going to play and that you sound great on. And the reality is most of us don't know how to play very well at life. The issue is patient endurance. It's huge in learning how to do well in life. What do we tend to do when things aren't going right at home, at school, at work? We grumble, we gripe, we complain. Right? Anybody who will listen. Oh, that man I married. I can't figure out what this woman's thinking. This is, you're not supposed to. You're just supposed to say yes, dear. Happy wife, happy life. No, you see, in our culture today, the common refrain is to be offended by everything and then gripe and grumble about it. And that will seep into our lives as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, and it'll ruin everything. It'll ruin you, and wherever you go will be ruined because you're there. See, 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, "Grumble not as some of them did in the wilderness and were destroyed." They were destroyed. Their lives were messed up, destroyed by the destroyer. Not God, the destroyer. People die today without ever reaching their God-given destiny, without ever unearthing the reason why God has given them life in this world. Why? Well, just as patient endurance is central to receiving what God has promised, let me tell you something. Complaining, griping, grumbling, all of these things is prime fuel for the enemy, Satan, in our lives. Speaking less of your life, grumbling about your job, complaining about your spouse and the people in your world releases the enemy to work destruction in your life. Just as surely as coming boldly to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need brings God onto the scene when you begin to speak what God speaks about you and your situation, brings life. But patient endurance is one of those things that has to be practiced. I think probably the secret is learning how to look at stuff differently. It requires a discipline similar to that of a miner. You know, miner, pick, digging. I don't think they use a lot of hand tools anymore for mining, but you get the picture. They're digging for stuff. It's a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? And so a miner recognizes that valuable things like gold and silver, typically they're just not lying around on top of the ground. Oh, I like that nugget. They understand that you have to dig. I read a true story. These guys, a couple of guys, they worked a mine in Colorado, the late 1800s, a gold mine. And they dug and they dug for several years and didn't hit anything. And so a company came along. They were ready to give up. And so they sold it to this mining company. Mining company went 12 inches further to where they left off and hit one of the biggest veins of gold ever discovered. See, sometimes we just give up too soon. We need a patient endurance. Patient endurance. You do what God has given you to do, and you will hit gold. But you've got to have the attitude of a miner. See, like a miner, you've got to understand that you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to search. You're going to have to get past a lot of dirt and rocks, hard things that are happening in your life and in your relationships. If you're going to find something of value, you've got to move forward. In order to get to the place of having found something of value, listen, we have to look beyond a lot of dirt and a lot of rock that must be sifted through. And there is a ton of dirt where you work. There's mounds of stuff to be moved at home, even at church. And in all of these, there's much refining that must be done. And this, again, requires faith-filled, patient endurance. To be intentional and purposeful is to say, I'm going to look past the dirt and the rock and believe that there's gold in the relationships in my world. That God has people in my life for a reason, and I'm in their life for a reason. There's something rich here. I just need to be patient. Keep digging. Maybe we need to start treating our relationship like a miner's claim that we need to return to and rework again and again and again until we find God's gold there. And I promise you, it is there. It is there. Who you marry, the job, the career, the profession that you select, they're important. But if you get your focus on the wrong thing, well, this job sucks, I'm out of here, I'm going to go somewhere else. Listen, so many people, they pray, oh God, I want a job, give me a job, I'll do anything, right up until the time I have to do it. God opens a door for you. But you don't understand, Pastor Phil. The people there are weird. Really weird. Especially this guy that I have to work with, this girl that I have to work with. They're just nuts. You know what happened? This Fred or Susie that you're working with that you can't stand, that you're so upset with that you go find another job. You know what? You show up there. Oh, it's Fred. It's Susie. What are you doing here? It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You were working over there. I left because of you, and here you are. No, it's not the same Fred and Susie. It's the same people because you wouldn't dig there. God says, fine, you want to move over to here? You're going to find like people like this your whole life that rub you the wrong way. When are you going to stop letting other people dictate to you? Just because they're an idiot, don't let their problem become yours. Listen, I've been there. I know it's hard to work, but I promise you, with patient endurance, you grab hold of God's promise. You see, the patient endurance is, God, this is what you've said. There's gold here. You've placed me here to minister to people. Just think of yourself as on the mission field, okay? You're surrounded by people who don't know God, and they're self-destructive in everything they do and say, and you're not there to be preachy at them. You're there to love them into the kingdom. And as you befriend people, people who don't deserve your kindness and friendship, the people that you show love to, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's what God did for us. Maybe we're to be imitators of our Heavenly Father. I don't know. I read that somewhere one time, maybe. Just maybe that's how you're going to advance in life. That life is going to get richer and sweeter because you're following your Savior Jesus and digging through all the stuff to find the gold that's there. Let's all stand. We're going to pray in just a moment, but are we singing something? Okay, good. I want you to take a few moments here. I want credit for this. It's just barely after 11 o'clock, and we're not quite done, but we're... No, I've intentionally left time right now. Not so that you can get all antsy, it's time to go, but you can just stay calm in the presence of the Lord and let God speak to you. We're going to sing, but ask yourself this question. Maybe you want to pose it to the Lord. Lord, where do I need to start? For some of you, it's going to be home, work, and school. But Lord, who do you want me to start with? Who do I need to engage in the hard process of moving dirt and pushing past rock? Let me talk to you, to those who are married today, and maybe the place you need to start is to come and say, I've been a dirty rock. I've been the hard things. I've created obstacles by my attitudes, my actions. And you might need to ask your spouse, will you forgive me? I don't want to be an obstacle. I want us to move together in life and uncover the gold, the value inherent that God has put in each one of us. Maybe you just need to ask God to start by helping you to have right vision, to see the right things in perspective so that through patient endurance, you can bring out the richness of His purpose for you in your life. Let me tell you, whether it's in you or whether it's working, ministering in relationship with other people, a change of perspective, how you're doing it, instead of just that you're in this, it's really worth it, and God will help you. How many of you with an uplifted hand say, Pastor, God is speaking to my heart, and I know I need to change how I'm doing some stuff. Would you just lift up a hand? Yes, 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 all over. Listen. Father, I pray for every one of us and those who lifted up their hands that, Lord, that you've spoken, they've heard your voice, and they know at least something that they need to begin to work on. And that, Lord, that you're going to help them caution them when they start to grumble and complain. We don't want to give place to the enemy in our lives. But we'll change out attitudes. We refuse to talk certain ways, to hold certain attitudes, to think about certain things. We're not going to meditate on wrong things, folly, things that are not going to bring life to our relationships, at our workplace, our school. We'll tell ourselves no. But we're going to live according to the new person you've made us to be in Christ Jesus. We're going to grow up in that. God bless you. Love you. We'll see you next time.